everybody. Welcome to another episode of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
No ridiculous promises about us being the best podcast on earth this week.
No, we figure you already know by now.
Yeah, since we already are.
It goes without saying this week.
It goes without saying that I said it.
Yeah.
That we're the best.
Mm-hmm.
This one. Week, we watched Kamen Rider X8, episode 39?
40.
40. Episode 40. And, Chojin Sentai Jetman, episodes 3 and 4.
Episodes fuck off and 4.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Did you see?
I'm foreseeing an opinion.
No.
For me.
Actually, no. I'm referencing one specific part that the subs did.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. I'll get to that. I have lots to say. But for now, let's talk about X-Aid.
Yeah, so, what happened this week on X-Aid?
This week, Parrot is dead for 100% sure. He's definitely gone. So they all, everyone else says, okay, let's gang up on Masamune. This is the only way we're going to deal with it. Laser, Snipe, Brave, fucking Dan, all decide to go.
I love everybody's named after their fucking Kamen Rider self, but you just call Dan Dan.
Dude, fucking Dan. They all have a go at Masamune, and they can't handle him. They just can't beat him because they don't have Muteki. They forgot to get it from X-Aid before they came, so they get their asses handed to them.
They get it from X-Aid.
Oh yeah, no, they get it and they toss it around, but it doesn't help.
Yeah,
them,
but then
the
Dan fucks off because he's afraid that Masamune is gonna get it, and he just ditches everybody else.
he's like, see ya. He leaves. Dan kicks everyone's asses and just takes their gamer drivers from them. Masamune, I mean, kicks everyone's asses and just takes their gamer drivers and all their gashats. He's like, these are mine, actually. I can pause time, so I'm just going to cripple you forever. I'll just take these.
Why didn't I do this before, I wonder? Wow. I must have really not been thinking.
He woke up this particular morning and after eating his wheat bran was like, shit, I got a great idea today.
Wait a second. I can stop time. Wow, what was I even thinking? I just kept shooting at them.
I would shoot at them and then stop time and then unfreeze time. And the bullet would hit them.
Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
Why doesn't Masamune just rob banks or something? Does he really need to do this whole
convoluted... He wants to be Kamida.
I guess.
Kamida does not rob banks. He creates video games.
He creates the money.
Apparently, that is a real trope in the world of Kamen Rider X-Aid. Just video game creators are God, since everyone we've met so far, except the guy who made Burgermon, thinks he's God.
If he makes games on his own, he's God. They make games fast. Didn't, like, Dan Kuroto, our Dan, made a fucking Hyper Muteki in, like, a day, didn't he? He just sat down and made it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's presumably a game.
What is the name of the guy who made Undertale? Because he's apparently Kamida.
Toby Fox.
Yeah, Toby Fox is Kamida.
Because he made the game by himself, he's Kamida. The guy that made PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is also Kamida.
PlayerUnknown.
Oh yeah. That makes perfect sense.
All the pieces are falling in place.
I believe you mean PlayerUnknown. So Emu is on the rooftop. He's hanging out on the depression rooftop, and Poppy's like, Emu, why did you do it? Why did you kill Parrot? You're screwed now. And he reveals in that moment that actually, like, just like you said, Jeff, in that last second, just as Parrot was about to die, he absorbed him back into his body to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Parrot, I kicked your shit in because I wanted you to understand what it was like to die. You had to know, because you've killed so many people and you don't really value life at all because all you know is continues. You have to know what it's like to die. And
so Parrot, I killed you.
Parrot runs off. He doesn't know what to believe anymore. He's hanging out with Graphite, and Graphite's trying to get him to be bad, and Poppy's trying to get him to be good, and he's like, I don't know. And he teleports.
Guys, I just don't want to die again. You just don't fucking get it. It's really not cool.
Dying isn't fun. It feels like drowning, apparently.
It's super not fun.
It's
exactly... You know how much I love fun, and I find fun in everything? It's not fun.
Dying's the first thing I've ever found that wasn't fun. He teleports back to the rooftop, where Emu is still waiting. Apparently only like 5 minutes have passed. And he gives, like, a tearful confession. He says, Emu, I'm so sorry. God, I did all this bad stuff. And Emu says...
He's so fucking afraid that he's gonna lose his life. He just begs Emu for forgiveness so he doesn't kill him again.
Mm-hmm. Please don't murder me anymore. And Emu says, all right, you gotta help me fight Masamune, though. And Parrot says, let's fucking do it, bro.
There's a great line that you're overlooking in this episode, though.
Mm.
Where Poppy is talking to him, and she reveals that she knows that Parrot's entire reason for being is because he wants to be like Emu. He's so obsessed with him because he, like, admires him and everything he is. And all he wanted to do, which is, you know, something we picked up on before, we talked about before, all he wanted to do was play with Emu. He's obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And he learns that it's better to play co-op than it is to play competitive.
What a loser. Sounds like the words of a loser.
Jesus Christ.
So they go to... Nico is about to die. They have to destroy this Gashat. She's dying soon. They go to Masamune at the giant clock, and they absolutely kick his ass. They double-team him.
They wreck his fucking shit, and it's one of the coolest fight scenes in the whole series.
It's a very cool fight. They both team up. And just when Masamune's... They break his Gashat. They destroy it. And Masamune's... Turns out he's infected. He's got the Bugster virus deep in his veins, in his DNA. And he gets up and he fucking just time vents it and erases Muteki from existence.
He hits the reset button.
Hits the reset button, and Muteki's gone. And the Gashat is unbroken. The master Gashat for Chronicle. And everyone's fucked. They're like, what do we do now? And Masamune leaves.
Why doesn't Dan just make another one?
Shut your fucking mouth, okay? Why don't you shut up?
Stop asking perfectly logical questions.
I bet that'll be explained next episode.
It will be explained. Like, Dan, maybe it erased his ability, like, his memories of making it.
Maybe Dan only had access to so much gold, and now it's run out, and he doesn't have any more gold to make the cartridge.
I'm not gonna say Toei doesn't have enough gold to make another cartridge. That would be a fool's
sell a couple hundred gamer drivers, and there's your gold. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 Episode 40?
You know, about halfway through this episode, well, at the beginning of the episode anyway, I knew Parrot was going to switch sides.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this. I thought it was silly that everyone was switching sides.
Yeah.
And as the episode went on, it won me over more and more and more and more until I couldn't imagine a different endpoint for Parrot's development as a character.
Mm-hmm.
That he began obsessed with Emu and having no idea about any sort of humanity or any sort of fear or understanding of death. And he acted like someone that had no understanding of any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's been taught that and he's been faced with his own mortality, he understands all of those things and he acts like someone that understands all those things.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have ended up as a worse villain or something after this, or if he would have gone back to being a villain, it would have been completely fucking ridiculous. He had to end up here.
Yeah, this whole episode, these past two episodes have been about making him realize the gravity of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
Making him realize what he's doing whenever he kills someone.
There's some legitimate drama in this episode.
Very legit. The rooftop
really
scene was...
really grips the shit out of you.
Yeah, the rooftop scene is very raw. It's very... when he's on the floor, it's a little melodramatic, but I really enjoyed it. It was very raw.
It's acted very well, though.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Like, Parrot's actor does, like, begging for forgiveness very well.
Yeah, it's... In the beginning of the show, they don't allow him to show any range, because that's just his character.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's got some range, as you can see.
He really does. And I feel like Taiga's actor did a really good job this episode.
Yeah, he had a little sequence where he was terrified about Nico dying.
Their relationship's still weird, but...
A little weird, yeah. Not going back on that.
It's like best friends is the way I'm going to view it.
Yeah.
Like an older brother and a younger sister kind of thing.
Yes, an older brother and a younger sister who
will
never...
That's the best way to look at it.
...ever have sex, ever.
They're never going to touch genitals.
Never, ever going... Actually, just physically touch each other at all. Never going to happen.
That happened in this episode.
Nope.
Wow. Headcanons on this episode of Rider Club Radio. I really fucking loved this episode.
Yeah, it was very
good. The reset seems like a little shitty. Well,
in my notes, I have it as Masamune pulls some bullshit. That's what I wrote it down as. It's a little bullshit.
But the thing is, it might lead to something really cool. So mm-hmm. I'm not gonna pass judgment on this. But I will say that I absolutely loved this episode. What about you, Liam?
I also really enjoyed it. I know I bitch a lot about Modern Rider, about, oh, all the Riders gotta be best friends, and the second Parrot has the title Kamen Rider Paradox, he's doomed to become best friends with the main character. True. But like you said, it was very, very gradual, very organic. It made total sense, very dramatic. It was tied together with a lot of really nice scenes. So I really can't say I'm unhappy with it. I can't bitch. This is the worst situation. It's something where I can't complain. I thought the metaphor of the drowning was a little cheesy. It felt a little early Fies. I got that vibe. It reminded me of the scene when he's
you
chasing
loved
after
early Fies.
I know it was melodramatic and it felt a tad out of place. It reminded me of the scene where he's chasing after the Phantom Bicycle. Kiba is chasing after the Phantom Bicycle in like
I'm
episode
not gonna,
two.
That's no.
That's
come
what
on
the drowning
now
reminded me a little bit
no
of.
No,
which is good for me. I liked it, but
you were full of shit, sir.
It reminded me a little bit of that. Just a little
I
bit.
I mean, maybe if you're a fool,
I guess. Yes, I guess call me Mr. Foolison, because that's what I believe. I loved the fight scene with Emu and Parrot teaming
up.
I
loved
that
it was
grin.
Just Mighty Brothers X, but in two suits with way more power. That was fucking awesome.
I like that Parrot just takes Mighty Brothers and is like, check this shit out, and then he fights us both forms at once. And he steals all the power-ups.
My favorite moment in the episode might be that when fucking Masamune pulls out his box set that you
his
can
big,
get now.
His big toy commercial case, yeah.
And he's like, well, watch this shit. And Parrot goes, oh, I've been waiting for this. And starts using them against him. That was amazing.
That's perfect.
Love their perfect co-op. There's an element to this that I want to get into, though. That, don't worry, everybody, I'm not going to suddenly change my mind and say I don't like it.
Okay.
This is an M class. But the Parrot Emu relationship, they play it like, oh, well, you're just a virus that's in me or whatever, and now you're a part of me. But it goes deeper than that. Like, Parrot is like an imaginary friend that became real.
Yeah.
Like, their relationship is so intrinsic to, like, Emu's childhood. Like, he's been infected ever since he was a kid. That, like, Parrot has been his imaginary friend. His, like, the emotional core within him that's, like, fiery and all about gaming and stuff like that.
There's a sort of childlike... He's got kind of a childlike view of things at times. How he just wants to play.
And seeing them finally reconcile is, like, Jungian? It's not Freudian. It's like
it's not
like Carl Jung.
Fucking
it's like the
mother.
Inner child.
Yeah.
I think it's Jungian is how it's said. But
I don't know.
It's like making peace with your inner child. Mm-hmm. That's like a really cool theme for a Kamen Rider series to have.
Yeah.
I mean, how many weirdo adults like us watch this show, you know?
A fair amount. Subculture.
And I don't know, maybe that's a little bit for us. I don't know.
I wonder if I
would say it would be 100%, but I feel like maybe a little.
I wonder if Toei actually ever, like the writers, I mean, ever consciously say, okay, this is for them. This is for the 18 and up.
It's really cool to me that, and maybe I'm just reading deeper into it, that actually exists. Maybe he is just like a virus that was part of him or whatever, but seeing them work together was a really pivotal moment in this series for me.
Even, I'm one of those guys that's like, even when the author didn't intend it, sometimes it's there. So I think I see where you're coming. Even
you're
if they didn't.
A college student?
I was at one point. So even if they didn't intend it, maybe if it's there by accident, as long as you can see it, as long as you have some sort of basis.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's, I don't know. The action scene being so fucking cool probably had a lot to do with it, but...
There's a number of funny little details that I liked in the action scenes. In the first one, when they're fighting, Masamune kills Dan and then pauses just as he's respawning, so you have the warp pipe coming out of the air and Dan flying out of it in, like, pausing while he's fighting really Brave. Cool. That was super cool. And then there was one shot in the co-op fight where he smacks Parrot back, and Parrot grabs onto, like, a cylinder and swings around it to come back at him, and he's like, not done yet, nope, still playing. That was a really cool little sequence. That's really good.
That was cool. Like, I love when they first transform, they do the Mighty Brothers X, like, we're gonna complete this with perfect co-op, and then, like
little high slap five. Yeah.
There's... And then, at the end, when they fist bump, before the explosion.
Oh, that was so badass.
I thought that was really fucking cool. Like, it might have been a little cheesy, but I thought it was so cheesy. Fucking cool.
It was so good. It's XAID lately, these last few episodes. Like, I know Modern Rider, we always bitch about how it's, oh, it's just big explosions in the fights. And it's not, it is still kind of like that, but they play around with it enough that it's interesting.
It's different every time.
They fuck with the wire work and they have nice little visuals, and it keeps your attention a little more than just a big explosion and a shoot laser.
They did a lot of what I call bros moves, thanks to Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, where you just use each other to fight the enemy.
Yeah, you just fling each other.
You bounce off of each other or fling each other or swing around, and I super appreciate that in fight scenes.
It's good when you can see their characters in the fights. When you can make out who they are by how they fight in Toku, I think that's the sign of really good choreography. And that's absolutely what this second fight scene had, that co-op scene.
Yeah.
Totally.
Somebody pointed out in the emails this week, I'll read their email and you'll see, but they pointed out that they do Rider 1 and Rider 2's poses very slightly before they do their Rider kicks. Like, Parrot does Rider 1's pose, and Emu does Rider 2's pose very slightly.
I did not catch that.
I didn't catch that either. I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to believe it, because I want to.
Someone said it on the internet.
I believe everything that man said, because he said exactly what I wanted to hear.
Perfect. I saw a thing, I posted it on the Twitter, but for anyone who didn't see... A video of the end of the last episode of XAID. Did you see it, Jeff?
I actually didn't. Oh, I saw a link that I couldn't see who sent it via DMs, and I was like, I'm not opening that shit.
You should. It was sent to us through a mysterious Google Drive link. It's so good. It's the ending of the episode where Emu kills Parrot, but the end song is replaced with the Amazon's theme. Like, as everyone's like, you just killed him! It's really, really funny.
That's great. I wish I would have clicked on it now. Yeah, I did find out after you'd already posted it, but it was too late for me to watch it today.
Oh.
I found out Don Piontas was the one who sent us that.
Yes.
And I should have trusted that person, because he writes in all the time. Yeah. So.
He's a trustworthy source.
Wow, I'm a piece of shit, everybody. Who knew?
Who knew? Jeff. Bad man.
Fuck off. Do we have any news?
Yes, very little news. Continuing on the Sentai train, Gingaman is going to be officially subbed by Shout Factory.
Woo!
Gingaman, the rangers that go into space and wear Charlie Brown outfits.
Did I ever tell you that my family, like the Pennington family, has... Well, I guess everybody knows my fucking last name already because of Twitter. The Pennington family has a coat of arms, and it's like Charlie Brown's shirt. It's like yellow.
The stripes.
It's instead of black stripes, it's like blue diamonds, but from afar, it just looks like Charlie Brown's shirt. I feel like that's so fitting.
Your family has a crest?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Your family probably does, too, if you look it up.
I bet my family's crest is probably like a photo of a pug puking or something.
It has to be a pug. Yeah, if you have any English heritage at all,
I don't.
You have a crest.
I got Irish. So my crest is probably a bottle of booze or something.
Oh my god, you fucker. You know I'm mostly Irish, right? Like, I'm teetering around 75%.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of fucking mix.
I'm mostly French.
Getting married in my family.
I'm mostly French.
Well,
Yeah.
Liam's last name is Jervis, by the way, everybody, since I already said mine.
That's 90% towards Gervais, so you know.
Don't cut that out.
No, I won't. I won't. We're going to be... This is an equal opportunities podcast. It's Liam Jervis all the way.
It's an equal opportunity podcast, except we're both white.
Except, so, but everyone's last names get revealed equally, is my point.
Tomas Ibarra.
Tomas, yeah, good luck spelling that one.
Yeah, figure that shit out. Max Hollis.
Okay. Also, the movie posters get revealed for the summer movies. They tell you nothing. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I've noticed that they literally never tell you anything. Ever.
Like, it's...
It's always just a bunch of characters posing with, like, someone's big, giant floating head in the background. It's that's nothing.
Super Sent... The Q-Ranger one is all that. I don't know... There's another Red Ranger. I don't know if he's in the show or if he's a movie character.
Yeah, he's in the
show. He's in the show. So it's a bunch of show characters with a big face in the background. Xaid is, I swear to God, just a bunch of clip art from the show. And, like, very tiny. It's, like, right in the middle, but it's so small, is Xaid VR form fighting a ninja. And it's, it, like, I looked at it from afar. Like, not a thumbnail, but, like, not quite zoomed in. And it just, you cannot see the ninja.
No,
it's just a bunch of guys posing.
The funniest part about that poster is that the guy, like, the I Am God game developer guy that Masamune calls, it's the exact same photo of him from the wallpaper.
Johnny Maxima, that's it.
Yeah, Johnny Maxima. That's amazing.
They've done zero shits given. Just throw him in there.
We only took one promotional photo of this guy. We're gonna stretch it.
He stood in, okay, go home. That's it. That's all we need.
We can't afford you any longer.
We can pay you for 30 seconds of your time. That's all we can afford.
Go back to being a comedy actor somewhere.
I mean, yeah, that guy has the look of a comedy actor, for sure.
You don't make it big in any sort of acting field in Japan as an overweight person unless you're a comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work. Also true of American actors.
That's true.
You have to either start out really good looking and svelte and then become fat or be a comedic actor.
Mm-hmm. That's the way.
I'm going to do neither.
You're going to do... No comedy or serious acting?
No comedy or losing weight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Losing weight's tough.
I go to the gym, motherfucker. Do you go to the gym?
No, I don't need to lose weight.
Whatever, fat ass.
I'm not a fat ass.
You dumb shit.
Yeah, okay, I can't argue that.
Is that all the news you have?
No, I wanted to talk about the trailer at the end of the episode, for episode final. I mean, it's a fucking true ending.
Stop calling it that.
I keep, I swear to God it's by accident I keep calling it episode final. Because it's
episode
the same...
Episode final, for those who don't know, was the Ryuki movie.
The much maligned Ryuki movie. Because it's the same kind of thing where it's like a different ending of the show, apparently.
The 10 out of 10 masterpiece. Ryuki. Final Vento. The series.
There's a lot of bad Kamen Rider movies. I wouldn't say episode final is the worst Kamen Rider movie. I would say it's my least favorite.
What's the worst, Liam?
I'm teetering on Heisei versus Showa. A part of me wants to give it to the first, because the first is just so boring.
But the next is worse!
I think the first was a little more boring than the next.
Dude, the next is so fucking bad. It's like, the thing about the first is I can see that they thought they were doing something clever.
Mm-hmm.
The next is literally a ripoff of The Ring.
That's true.
Like, they couldn't have been lazier if they tried.
The thing is, it was a lazy ripoff that actually moved. The first moves so slow. It is one of the slowest moving films I have ever seen in my entire life.
Kamen Rider The Next has two fight scenes in it. The rest of the movie is about that girl who turns into a crazy monster and kills you if you listen to a song.
I'm gonna have to agree to disagree with you here.
And also, Hongo tries to have sex with a 16-year-old.
I'm gonna have to agree that that makes it a great movie, so.
Whoa!
Whoa, heyo. Yeah, you're fucked up. The first is worse. But you think?
The next is so much worse!
Let's agree to disagree and talk about the trailer.
Fuck, what was even in the trailer?
Dan runs out of lives, and Bugsters
can
be...
Yeah, he has one life left, but it doesn't matter because it's a non-canon movie.
It doesn't matter because it's a secret alternate ending, and also Bugsters can be revived. Like, they can be infected with this weird ninja virus that makes you fall asleep and brings you to a virtual world.
Just you go to the VR world, and then you... I don't know.
Just so that Poppy can be there in the VR world ruled by ninjas. How much you want to bet...
What
since
does VR
apparently
have to do with ninjas? I just...
I don't know. Man, I don't
get
know.
It.
I don't know. How much do you want to bet that in the show, since the movies are apparently canon to the show now, in the show they're going to mention about how, like, yeah, Johnny Maxima almost created a virus that threw everyone into VR world, but failed, because this is, like, the alternate reality where he didn't do it?
Yes.
They're gonna throw that. They've already mentioned him. They gotta say something about him.
It's just they're trying to get you hyped up for the movie.
I think they're gonna say one more thing.
They are definitely gonna say one more thing. They're gonna be like, "No one will be able to stand against Johnny Maxima's plan." Ha ha ha! And it'll show at the bottom of the screen. Please say our movie in
theaters.
Watch
our movie. Here's what it should be like. Here's what every show should do. Is after the big crossover movie, not the summer movie, but like the, you know, the big Rider versus Rider, every fucking Rider comes on movie, the giant movie, there should be an episode that's like that scene in Anchorman where they're all sitting around after the fight, like, ooh, that escalated quickly.
That would be amazing.
That really got out of hand fast. Wow. Jumped up a notch.
Zet Cross pretended to be part of Badon for 40 years. Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that. Mitchie killed a guy.
I'll never get over Zet Cross. I can never get over it.
The ultimate fuck you, just make him waste his entire adult life.
He's an old man now. He fucking spent his whole life pretending to be Ambassador Hill.
For nothing. For nothing.
I feel like I'm forgetting something I wanted to talk about on X8 this week. And I'm sure there's somebody listening to this right now going, "For fuck's sake, Jeff, it's this thing! Are you stupid? You missed it!"
Poppy?
No.
Nico?
Why would I ever want to talk about Poppy?
I'm just trying to throw out words until you come to something.
Grapefruit?
Grape ape? Lobster bisque?
What is with you and lobster bisque?
Ninjas?
No. Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, that was it. We were going to talk about fucking Ninja Turtles.
Liam, I just want everybody to know that you're a fucking moron in real life, too. Not just on the show. This isn't a character. It really is like this.
We're getting real for 2 seconds.
I really enjoyed this episode of X8. I feel like we talked about it for about 20 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I feel like we're not giving it its due, because this was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, it was very... They took a writer trope that I hate, which is, like, everyone's friends now, and actually made me really enjoy it, which is terribly impressive.
I feel like X8 never gets to that point, though, where everyone is actually friends.
But, like, you know what
Dan
I mean? All the writers
never actually became a good guy.
Yeah, but they're all on the same side now.
I guess that's true.
I like
rider
conflict. Yeah, they're murdering it.
Your boy's on the bird team now, too.
My boy, yeah. That's speaking quick. Of which, you wanna start talking about Sentai?
Yeah, we could talk about some Sentai.
So this week on Sentai, Black
Chojin
Condor...
Chojin Sentai Jetman.
Black Condor tries and fails to escape the Jetmen, and then White Swan tries and fails to escape the Jetmen. Jeff, what did you think of these two episodes?
I feel like Guy gave up on being a dickhead really quickly.
It was a real fast 180.
Like, he's just... I don't give a shit if this dude dies. I'm gonna leave him to his fucking death. Fuck those kids. I don't give a shit. And then he's just driving along and he's like, "Man, why can't I stop thinking about that guy getting murdered? I guess I'm a good guy now.
Why can't I stop thinking about his luxurious hair and his angular face?
Why can't I stop thinking about his lips?"
Beautiful
lips.
If it was like... I was reminded a little bit, this was like a really quick, low-rent version of the Burai arc from Jiu-Ranger, where, like, he's so touched by the goodness of the Red Ranger that he turns around. If it was, like, Ryu saves his life, And he's like, oh my god, maybe it's possible to care about other people. And, like, in that exact moment, I feel like that's what they were going for. But the scene where he drives away on the motorcycle first creates this weird kind of break.
Yeah.
That makes it seem a little more...
It was really awkward.
It makes it seem more inorganic. Where he's like, you saved my life, fuck you. And then 5 minutes later, he's like, wait a minute. You saved my life.
Yeah. And then he, like... And then he just wants to screw, like, a weird-ass looking chick with giant dimples and, like, a 15-year-old.
he's on the hunt instantly.
He's, like, a weirdo and a pedo at the same time.
Mm-hmm. My favorite ranger.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm sure he is your favorite ever, as a matter of fact.
I don't watch a lot of Sentai. I'd have trouble picking a favorite, but he's up there.
He's right there with Dan from Jew
Ranger.
It's weird how usually... Well, I guess there was no dickhead in Jew Ranger for you to choose, so you had to choose the silly character.
Yeah, even Burai didn't stay a dickhead. He had a really good redemption arc.
He did.
And there sure as hell was no dickhead in Sun Vulcan.
They're all too badass to be dickheads. Well, there's an idiot and two badasses.
There's one goober, yeah.
You were the goober.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But, I just love that he's, like, he fucking, like, hits on a police officer and then, like, forces her to pull him over.
Just so he can talk to her.
And then Ryu drives up and says, hey, mind your manners. I'll go on a date with
you. Yeah, I love that. I'll go out with you if you're that desperate guy.
And then he fucking punches him again because he solves all of his problems with fisticuffs.
All the punches. I like that, my favorite part, I mentioned this way in the beginning of the episode... The phrase, so many translators seem to have a problem with the phrase, Fusake na! That's when they're like, alright, it's time to put the F word in this show for 5 years. Alright,
this is now fuck. this children's television show about teamwork now has the word fuck in it.
You cannot imagine how hard I laughed watching this show.
I laughed pretty fucking hard, too.
These aliens are like, yes! Oh, you multicolored spandex heroes, we will defeat you. And then the Blue Ranger, the youngest one, obviously, the youngest one stands up and says, fuck off! And I couldn't, I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know, damn you? Is what
or don't mess with us, or stop screwing around, or something, I don't know.
Yeah, stop screwing around. It's like, the Japanese don't really have curse words in the same way we do.
Not quite in the same way we have in English. Fuck and you.
Fuck you. It's like you watch O's, right?
Yeah.
I always bring up O's when this discussion comes up. Mm. Because Ankh literally says fuck every other word in every translation of O's.
That's good.
And I'm like, this is a tiny children's show about a ska superhero that turns into a grasshopper Hawkman. With a tiger something.
Here's the thing. If I was a Super Sentai man, and the alien villains were getting up in my face, you bet I'd be throwing F-bombs left, right, and center.
Well, that's why you're not on the team.
That's true. That's why I'm not a Super Sentai guy. Yeah.
Even Guy, who is a giant piece of shit, and obviously has done cocaine at least once in his life, didn't say fuck you.
Guy has taken at least one life in his life. He's for sure killed at least one person.
At least one person.
He's drowning in gambling debt, to be certain.
He has at least one venereal disease. At least.
But he keeps his language clean around the ladies.
How's he gonna get a second one?
You gotta increase the collection, guy.
He's trying to catch them all.
Jesus fuck.
Sorry. I think that covers the first episode.
It covers the first episode. Guy is ridiculous. I love him. He has kind of a weird heel turn.
He really does.
I like
worse
Saint
than
Monster.
Any wrestling heel turn ever.
Here's something that's dark as shit. The beginning of the episode, a guy gets pulled into a sink, right? And it's all like, ooh, lasers. He's pulled into the sink.
Bloop, and then bloop, the bloop, sink bloop. Turns on, and blood pours out of it.
Which, all I could think was, did he just get, like, crushed into the sink?
I guess.
He, like, in there? A mangled corpse crushed into this little tube?
That's terrifying.
Is that just that thing that you're not supposed to think about?
Yeah, he turned into lasers, and then his blood came out because spooky.
Just because dimensional shenanigans, there's blood in the sink. Holy shoot.
The storyline of episode two, four. Sorry, everybody.
This week's two.
I've been drinking. Episode two, four.
Jeff can't face Rider Club Radio without a couple of them. It's understandable.
I've been drinking on a Monday. I haven't been drinking, everybody. Calm down.
Sure.
On episode four, what is her name? She's the Swan.
Oh, God. I didn't learn any of their names. They said it like 100 times, too.
Yeah, Reiko?
Reiko?
The Swan.
The Swan. Decides
that she hates machines more than anything, and we learn no backstory about that. She just hates them.
Yeah, a machine didn't kill her parents or anything. She just can't stand touching them.
She didn't, like, have to spend time with a nerd when she was little and just fucking can't stand it anymore. She just hates machines, so she doesn't want to fly the jet machines. And she's like, look, please just don't include me in your jet machine shenanigans. Thank you.
That was my favorite part, when they're like, you have to learn how to fly this jet, and she's like, can I just not fly the jet? Like, everyone else can fly it. Can I just not? I'll ride
please,
in the back.
Please excuse me from this exercise. Thank you. And Ryu is fucking pissed because she won't shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, look, you have to learn how to fly the machine. You can't act like a princess your whole life. And she is so offended at this. She is fucking, like, livid. And she's like, all right, then I fucking quit the team.
And here's the thing.
Like, wow, Ryu, you're a giant piece of shit. And he's like, nah, she'll be back.
Here's the thing with Ryu. He does this with Guy, and he does this with White Swan. Is like, these fucking people never ask to be super soldiers, and yet he keeps going like, you're a jet man. Okay? You have to do this.
He brings up a good point, though. They can't make any more jet men.
I guess if you want to say with great power comes great responsibility, then yes.
Yeah. But Uncle Ben was right. He didn't get shot for nothing.
That's true, but I do at the same time feel kind of bad. Like, I feel a little bad for White Swan.
Yeah, Ryu was being a dick. I'm not going to take up for it. He was being a huge asshole for no reason.
Like, imagine if a laser hit you one day and someone was like, yeah, just fucking abandon your whole life and fight to save the world. You have to do this.
Stop being you.
You have to learn how to fly a jet.
Dude, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, this is a blessing.
This is the coolest shit that ever happened to me, but for her, it's not. She goes back to her house, and a bunch of flowers show up, and Zach from Saved by the Bell, but an Asian guy, because he looks just fucking like him. I was like, what the fuck?
I have not seen Saved by the Bell in a long time.
He also looks a lot like Hiro. Comrade or Brave.
Yeah, he looks like a really dorky version of Hiro.
Yeah. And he shows up and he's like, hey, let's get married. Because we've been engaged since we were children. Because they're a weird, like, rich people.
It's a business relationship. It's an arranged marriage, pretty much.
And she's like, I guess?
I don't know. I'm kind of a superhero now.
And then he's like, hey, let's go to dinner. And she's like, all right. And then he's like, hey, you'll marry me, right? And she's like, I can't because I'm a hero of justice. And he's a giant fucking prick about it. And just laughs at her. But then she... here's a fun thing about this episode.
Okay.
Is the little scorpion monster goes onto the street light.
Yeah.
Onto the red light. Stop light. That's what mm-hmm. I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And takes control of it. And then cars start fucking exploding, and like shit flies through the air, and I was like, because of a red light malfunctioning?
My favorite was the one where the guy's hood is on fire, and he like does a triple
instantly.
Flip.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Like, he takes a sharp turn, and then his hood's on fire. He hasn't even hit anything.
I don't know if our eagle-eyed viewers have ever seen a street light breaking, but it usually just means everyone slows way down and is very careful.
As it turns out, he controls the entire highway.
Yeah, he does. He, like, folds the roads. It's really incredible to see.
Yeah, it's... they do it with real roads.
Real roads.
They definitely don't use any scale models.
This cost billions of dollars. Trillions of yen.
They literally crippled the Japanese infrastructure so that they could make this episode.
I do like... The monsters in Jetman seem a little more hardcore. Maybe it's just because it's older Sentai, and I'm so used to watching Jyoger and X-Aid and all that.
I mean, they murder a lot.
Oh, they kill.
It's not like distant murder, like a building gets destroyed or whatever.
It's they kill a shit zillion people in this fourth episode with all the cars.
Yeah, you just see people. The funny part about it, though, is like the dude with the hood on fire like comes back a few scenes later.
His hood is still on fire. Oh God, when does it end?
Please, I've been spinning for 6 hours.
All because
I
of the red light.
Thought I'd run out of gas by now.
Just the light changes and he instantly just starts swerving and spinning.
Yeah. That cracked me. That's the moment in both of these episodes that cracked me up the most. Like, fuck you made me laugh, but that made me laugh so hard. But she turns out that she doesn't want to marry this dude because he calls poor people worms and thinks that he's the chosen people because he has money.
Yeah, we're the chosen people. We have to breed.
And then she kicks him in the... She kicks him in the dick and leaves.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And then she runs like a million blocks in a wedding dress.
They're gonna get married in a, like, this is the hastiest wedding.
Yeah, it's completely like, empty chapel.
Totally. They were at dinner and they were like, or they were like, because they meet, right? Everyone's like, yo, this is your fiance. And she's like, yes, we're getting married right now. Fuck you, Jetman. I imagine
fuck
they
just... Fuck you, Ryu.
They went straight to the chapel and were like, you, now.
Yeah. It had to have.
Yeah. I mean, it takes place like 10 minutes apart.
Like, I'm talking about this episode more because I liked it more. I thought this episode was more fun.
It was more... I really, really like when superheroes have real-life shit that gets in the way.
Yeah, and that's what this was.
Yeah.
She had to decide between her boring, stodgy-ass business person life or being a cool superhero.
Jetman seems really good so far about, like, everyone having real difficulty adjusting to being a Jetman. It's not like...
Yeah, none of them are still good at it, besides Ryu.
Ryu has the military training. Everyone else sucks in some capacity. Like, Guy's an asshole, and the other three are just totally untrained.
Guy also gets his shit wrecked way more than Ryu does.
That's so true.
He's not trained either. And Ryu's problem is that he is a military man and has absolutely no fucking tact whatsoever.
Yeah. He expects everyone else to behave like military people, but they don't have any experience.
But they will hopefully very slowly meld into a great team.
Yeah. I like...
Although, when they're transformed, Guy is all about taking orders now. I don't know why. He's always saying Roger now.
That was my favorite part in episode 1 or 2, was it? It was 2. When Guy, they're all like lasering the bug, right? And they're like, gosh, if we only had one more laser, we could do it. Guy, shoot him with your laser. And Guy's like, no. And they're like, why not, Guy? He's like, because you told me to.
I don't like you giving me orders.
I don't like you giving me orders all the time, dude. I'm getting sick of it.
If I was Ryu, I'd be like, please! Please do it then!
Guy, I'll give you $20 out of my wallet right now if you shoot that thing with your laser.
Why didn't they try and give Guy money? He seems super disreputable. He would have accepted money to
totally
do that.
He totally would have taken that 10 million yen.
All you had to do was just punch him a lot, and eventually he would join the team.
Beat him in a race, but not actually.
Yeah, just save some kids. I love how Guy did not give a fuck about those kids getting choked to death.
He saw that, and he was like, this is the perfect opportunity to distract him, and I'll win the race.
That's the thing, is, like, he's driving back, and he's like, why do I care about him dying now? And I'm like, yeah, why do you? Like, you were just gonna let children die, not even 2 minutes ago.
It's, he's a fella. I like him.
Guy really wants to fuck Ryu, and he doesn't want anybody to know.
I would love that if that was their arc of, like, they hate each other, and then they become, like, bestest bros.
Like, sexually?
Yeah, like, fuck buddies.
I thought you were gonna go, like, you'd love it if, like, they hated each other, but then, like, slowly developed a romance in this 1970s Super Sentai series.
Excuse you, 90s Super Sentai series.
90s, sorry.
Speaking of which, it is really nice to be watching an old show again, like a pre-2000 show.
Yeah,
it's
it
a totally
like,
different
I
feel.
I really love the special effects.
Yeah, like totally all this, like the most complicated thing you get is some green screen. That's the way I like it.
I love laser effects in these old shows.
Yeah.
Like anytime anything turns into light.
That like rotoscoped.
Yeah.
I love it.
I also absolutely love the way the monster turns giant. He just glows, and then, like, there's this weird, like, growing animation, but it's just the glowing thing, and mm-hmm. it's really fast.
Yeah.
And then it's huge. I thought that was a really fun special effect.
Yeah, special effects are really good. I missed old 90s special effects.
I do, too.
The golden age.
I miss all the effort they put into monsters. I mean, yeah. they still put a lot of effort into them, but they tend to have just a theme that a lot of monsters sort of fall into a similar silhouette if they're not a giant T-Rex head on legs.
Yeah, it's, like, usually they... Like, these ones don't have... They're all called Dimension, whatever, but they all look completely different from each other.
Yeah.
They're...
You could tell me they were from any series, and I'd believe you, because they don't look anything alike. The only thing that marks them is that they have a scorpion thing on them somewhere.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Which they keep calling a spider?
It's
they know what scorpions are in Japan.
In the other Vyrum dimension, that's a spider.
I guess.
That's how it is.
I'm glad that they said Vyrum enough that I know that word now, because I couldn't remember it last time at all.
They say it a lot.
I love how hardcore the commander is, too. Jesus.
I really like the commander. I like the
chief.
I do,
too.
She's funny.
She is tough as nails.
She beats the shit out of three of the rangers at the beginning. It was really good.
I still love that they're completely hopeless. Like, they're really shit. I love that. There's this weird Super Sentai thing as well, right? They do it in every Super Sentai, where our heroes show up to fight the enemy, but one of them can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them is decided they're not going to help, so they don't transform, and they get their shit wrecked.
Yeah.
You can transform by yourself. You've done it before. I saw it.
Yeah.
You don't need all five people there to transform.
No, you have to do the pose, or else the effect is lost.
I guess. I would really love a Sentai series where, for most of it, they're not a team.
That would be awesome, but at the same time, would it still be Sentai, or would that be Rider at that point?
That would be more Rider, yeah.
Yeah, like that's...
But even Rider has teams all the time.
Yeah.
There's always at least two of them on a team.
Like, you mean, like, where everyone is kind of separate and opposed?
Not opposed so much as, like, working towards a similar goal, but maybe they don't know about each other. And they have their own little mini-cast of, like, a couple people they interact with.
Okay.
It would be, like... It wouldn't be good for the normal Sentai thing. It would have to be, like, an Amazon-style thing.
You know,
so it would be, like, a shorter series.
You know what would be fucking hilarious as a Sentai show?
What's that?
Is if they were all friends out of suit, and they were all team members in suit, but none of them had any idea. Like, they're all just like, man... Everyone always disappears when the thing... Like, I disappear because I'm becoming a superhero, but I wonder where all my other friends are going when I'm going to fight with all my superhero friends. What's that all about?
I wonder why they all wear the same color outfits as my superhero friends.
Like, this Mr. and Mrs. Smith shit where they just have no clue what they're actually doing.
There's a comic book, right? I can't remember the name of it, where these two guys share an apartment in New York City. Like, they answer an ad... for a roommate,
mm-hmm.
and they both share an apartment, and one of them is a superhero, and the other one is his archenemy. Yep. They have no idea.
That's funny.
So, and it just always struck me as a really amazing concept, but I never could get my hands on the comic.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was called?
No. If anybody listening to this remembers what it's called, please tell me. Like, tweet at us at Rider Club Radio and tell me.
I would like to read that.
I want to read that.
Yeah, it sounds funny.
I really enjoy Jetman, though.
It's, I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Like you said, there's something really great about going back to a pre-2000s tokusatsu.
Mm-hmm. I missed it.
I did, too. I feel like when this is over, we should delve even further back.
We should do... was it Super 1 that just got finished recently? I think so. I think there was a team that just came out and was like, here's Super 1. I don't remember. I think it was Super 1.
I think it was Super 1. They literally did all of it.
Yeah,
and then
they just
released it all at once.
Threw it all out. We should do that.
Maybe we will. I mean, we have a lot of this to get through first.
Yeah, we have a lot of time to decide.
So, we'll figure it out before it's over with. Maybe we'll be burnt out on older stuff by then.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe we'll want variety, but we'll see.
You know what? How about some variety in this podcast, and we answer some emails.
All right. Throw them at me.
Our first email is from Adam, who says, "Hey, Jeff and Liam, I have some fun facts for you guys."
Oh, boy, I like these.
Emu is 24, Taiga is 29, and Nico is 18. Hopefully 18. That's cleared up.
18, okay. I could see that. I could see that. She's a youthful-looking 18-year-old, yeah. Emu's 24, though.
Timeline doesn't really line up too well.
I'm still not sure about that, but 24...
The problem was having him play his young self.
Yeah, getting the same actor instead of a sort of teenage lookalike.
Jet combat starts with the Jetto Jetto in the sky, like how Jetman's opening starts with Jetto 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 Man. And ends on a high note like Jetman's opening. That's cool.
It's kind of funny.
I didn't know that. I don't understand this one. Dastardly Dio Dan's coattails are reused from Genmu Wizard Gamer with its red inside and silver trim. What does any of that mean?
I think he means Dan Masamune's coat thing.
Oh, Dan. Fucking Masamune. Dan.
You have to call him Masamune.
I can't think of this. My brain will not allow there to be two Dans.
If you call
him
Dan, we're going to think it's Dan Kuroto.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Jesus. I couldn't. My brain just wouldn't allow it. I'm a fool. Sorry. I'm sorry, Adam.
You know, thinking back on it, Emu doesn't look 24, but if he's doing his internship at a hospital, he should
be 24.
He's
not
going to be 20. He's got to be in his mid 20s or.
That definitely fits the time.
It makes sense. I like that Snipe is I'm pretty sure Snipe's actor is younger than me, but he's playing a fucking 29-year-old.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't look much. He doesn't look any older than the other guys.
He doesn't really look 29 at all.
Kyria is supposed to be younger than him, and Kyria looks like he's 36. Yeah, Kyria, 37.
Kyria is my age. Kyria was born the same year as me. Kyria's actor, really? Was born the same year as me. And he looks like he is 2017 years old.
Nice save. Now I'd like to go over Dastardly Dangerous Dan's actor's skills and talents. He speaks fluent self-taught English.
Really?
He is an actor, singer, and male model. He's part of Japanese Mensa, which means he's smarter than either of us.
What?
He sang, played guitar, and wrote lyrics in a band. He loves space and even took astronaut tests, and all of them were a AAA rating.
Are you making things up now?
I feel like he is. He's mastered Japanese calligraphy, mental calculation, and even has pharmaceutical credentials. That's true. He does have a pharmaceutical license.
I did hear about that.
Friend of the show, except Liam, Adam.
Oh.
Why? Liam's a good dude. Thanks for writing in. Those were some fun facts.
If he does speak English, I would love to hear it.
Our next email is a Muteki opinion, which I don't understand. I guess I sort of understand it.
Okay.
It's from Alfie, who says, FYI, Muteki's design is cool, the suit not as much. I'm guessing, design on pen and paper.
I'm going to have to disagree. It's bad.
I disagree with the fact that the suit's not good, because it's great.
We both disagree.
Fucking amazing.
You're just not right in any capacity, Mr. Mailer. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Thanks for writing in, though. Our next email was written complete. I want to share this tale. I was going to delete this, but I wanted to share this tale.
Okay.
Our next email is from Wilson Uguru.
Okay.
And the email was in German.
Okay.
And I was like, well, maybe it's some joke if I translate it. And I went through Google Translate, and it didn't work. So I went to find a German to English translation site. And I tried two of them before I finally got it to work, and it is the Nigerian Prince scheme, but in German.
What?
It's almost exactly the same scheme, just with German shit swapped out.
All that. So it's like, is it I'm a prince from Germany, or is it just a Nigerian prince scheme?
It's like a Nigerian prince scheme.
Okay.
No, it's like a German dude being like, I'm an expatriate, I'm leaving Germany, and I need to 6,000 move my funds to your bank account, so I need your bank account number, and I'll split my ill-gotten gains with you or whatever. And his name's Todd at the end of it, so it doesn't even match the fucking email address.
Oh, what was his question that he asked?
His question was, will we give him our bank account information?
Fuck, I'll give you my social security number, actually.
My social security number is 420-69-69-24-7.
Just 69s until you hit the amount of digits. Just type that in.
Our next email is from Crofton, who says, hey, RCR, I just finished X8 episode 40 and really enjoyed it, though I didn't really expect Parod to be gone for good after the last one. Seeing tag team Emu and Parod was one of the better fight scenes in the series. Plus, it looks like Graphite's going to have a triple team to deal with in 41. Plus, it was a nice nod with them doing a pseudo Rider 1, Parod, and Rider 2, Emu pose before using their finisher. So it was Crofton.
Mm.
So if that's full of shit, you could blame him. Anyway, I had a few questions for
just
you both.
Just painting a target right on the guy.
Sorry. Anyway, I had a few questions for you both, though one is a what-if toy question. With Liam has put toy news in almost every single episode of this show, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Question one. If you could have a CSM belt from a Rider series or movie, of course Showa is included, which one would it be? Bonus, it doesn't have to be a common Rider's belt unless you want it to be.
I want a V-buckle. Real bad.
God, that's like $3 billion at this point. You could float an entire country's fucking GDP on that shit.
There is a complete selection V-buckle that I found on eBay. I checked that. I haven't checked for like a year, but when I last checked...
It probably sold by now.
It was $10,000.
Jesus!
I am not kidding.
Dude, my eyes fucking like went cross for a second when you said that.
A complete selection fucking V-buckle is $10,000.
That is horrific.
That is that. My brain broke looking at that.
I don't know. Maybe like. I don't know. That's a really tough one because I have a double driver. I don't want to get a CSM double driver on top of my regular double driver.
Yeah, but you
Liam
get...
has a CSM fucking Gatak.
I don't have a CSM, I have the DX. I would kill for a CSM Kabuto belt, like the actual prop-accurate, adult-fitting fucking Kabuto belt.
Dude,
I'd kill
if I
for
could
that
get
shit.
The Gatak belt, CSM, that would be a dream fucking come true.
It actually, the CSM ones they sold actually have working clock-up panels on the side TV, you can smack them, and it goes clock-up.
I want it.
Yeah... Oh, well.
Sucks
being poor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Donate to our Patreon, everyone.
Donate to our belt fund.
That's all it is. The different tiers are just, like, belts.
Liam
that we'll
gets,
be able to buy.
Yes. Liam gets a Gatak belt. Liam gets a Kabuto belt. And then the toppest tier is the V-buckle.
How come you only get belts? I'm not going in on this. Fuck you.
Because, fuck you then. That's fine. I don't need you.
I don't need anybody!
Make my own Indiegogo.
You do it.
Okay.
Two, if the Berry Bros... Damn, this is a deep cut.
Ooh.
There are people listening to this who don't know what that is.
Digging deep. Should we explain?
Yeah. I mean, the Berry Bros, when Gaim was airing, we were asked what rider we would be.
Well, this was when Drive was airing, I think.
Yeah, Drive was airing. We basically got asked what Gaim rider we would be, like, to create a fan fiction tier, original character, do not steal for ourselves. And we created a...
Shadow the Ridehog.
Yeah, pretty much. We created a blueberry rider for Liam and a blackberry rider for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whose names I don't remember.
I don't remember him either.
I remember Blackberry was Noir.
Was it Noir?
Or Noir.
I don't remember what Blueberries was called.
And Blueberries
so
was, Comrade Blue. I don't know.
This was literally a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
it was a
long time ago. But if the Berry Brothers had their own Rider Lockseeds, what would their three levels of attack be named? Like Baron Squash being Cavalier End, His Olay being Banna Spear, and his Sparking being Spear Victory.
I didn't know those attacks had names.
Neither did I. I had no idea.
I'm just discovering this now. This is some deep toy stuff.
Liam's weapon was blueberry bombs.
Yeah, it was like bombs that you throw.
And my weapon was a flail, like a ball and chain.
Mm-hmm.
With a blackberry at the end of it.
Big plastic blackberry. Man, I miss Gaim.
Yeah, it stuff like this always makes me miss Gaim a little bit.
I'm nostalgic for Gaim.
You're such a Gaim baby.
I am a huge Gaim baby. I love
every
that
time
show.
Somebody asks us a question about our favorite something, you answer a Gaim thing and I answer a double thing. Because we are a Gaim and a double baby.
Yep. That's the that's the breaks.
So what would your Squash, Olay, and
Sparking
be?
Oh my god. The Sparking would for sure be called Mad Blue Bomber. Because I like the sound of that.
That is good.
Mad Blue Bomber.
Create your OC, damn it.
I'm trying so hard, man. You're putting me on a spot here. Okay. Mad Blue Bomber. Perturbed Blue Bomber. Slightly Irked Blue Bomber.
That's good.
There you go.
That's good. He definitely tried, everybody.
Blue Mine. Because it lays a mine.
Okay.
That's for the first one. Blue Mortar.
There you go.
There you go. There and then Mad Blue Bomber. Bam.
That's good.
My brain That's juices good. For the year are gone. I hope you're happy.
The Squash would be...
It's tough, isn't it, motherfucker?
It is really tough. Would be Black Tornado.
Okay.
And I would spin it to create like a tornado with it of energy. The Olay would be... shit. I can't think of a name for it, but it would be like I swing the flail out and it becomes like a huge long whip. And like strikes them.
It has to be a word that's just totally nonsense, like the Black Baranger. The Black Baranger.
It's the Boomer Kuanger.
The Boomer Kuanger.
is my Olay. And my Sparking is I swing it up into the air and it creates like 8 of them. And it strikes down and it's called the Black O'Nine Tails.
Oh, that's clever. I like that.
No, it's not. Fuck you.
Black O'Nine Tails. I like the sound of it.
It makes 9 of them, of course.
Mm.
It doesn't make 8. That wouldn't make any sense. Black O'Eight Tails.
Toei can't afford that extra 1 for the 9.
No, it ruins the effects budget. Question 3. Which Rider Lockseed that hasn't been made would they use, and why would Liam's be Knight?
Did they not make Knight? I thought they did.
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
Maybe not. And mine would be Gatak.
Okay, that's good.
Although, blue... It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Knight is blue.
Yeah, but me being blue doesn't make any sense. Maybe fucking Joker.
Okay.
Black.
I think they made a Joker Lockseed.
They made the Black
Lockseed. And they made a Black Lockseed as well. You're in a corner.
Pass. I do Black RX. Did they make that?
Yes, they definitely did.
So it would be Blackberry RX.
Okay. Black RX suit is a curse.
It is.
You're cursed to pee yourself whenever you wear it.
He was sweating, damn it.
Sure. Sweating all in his crotchal region.
Keep up the consistent work, and thanks for inspiring me to get a Sengoku driver of my own. And he sent us a photo of his Sengoku driver sitting on a Rider Club Radio t-shirt.
Hey.
Way to go.
The Sengoku driver is the best belt, so... You're
I like
welcome.
The double driver better, but that, again, Gaim Baby, double
baby.
Gaim
Baby and double baby.
Our next email is from Sam. We did not get an email from Jake the Snake this week.
Holy shit.
He had, like, several months going straight.
The streak is broken.
Damn. Sam writes, "Hey, Jeff and Liam. I'm surprised Masamune didn't yell Bites Zadusto at the end of the episode. It's pretty damn obvious what they're referencing / ripping off here.
First he's freezing time and saying Mudada, and now he's going back in time.
Knights, Zadasto.
With JoJo in mind, what writer series do you think would be would do best with a JoJo reimagining? I think Gain would work because of how many writers are in it and how crazy the designs were. Sayonara, fellas. Sam.
It'd be better for a multi-writer show. And I think something like Hibiki would be cool. There's something that hasn't been explored in JoJo.
Music themed of
like,
already.
Yeah, imagine like a JoJo where everyone's a musician, and that's just like the thing, and it's like a Chicago underground or something with gangs and stuff.
That'd be pretty dope.
Everyone plays the horn, I don't know. That'd be sick.
The main character can play the horn.
Yeah, he plays the
horn. He'd play the drums.
He'd play the drums, of course. Actually, yeah, that seems really obvious.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Kuga is already kind of part two.
A little
it's just
bit.
Instead of like the like three pillar men, there's like a billion pillar men.
But it's the same kind of thing. The ancient evil and the guy that has the mysterious power.
Yeah. So maybe that. No, Hibiki's a really good choice, and so is Gaim.
Mm.
I feel like Ryuki would do really well.
Any multi-writer series I think would be great.
Yeah, it's a tough question because, like, JoJo and Ryder are kind of worlds apart from tone and how they carry the story and
but
everything.
If there was a JoJo thing where it's like all these stand users converge in such and such a city to fight for a wish, that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
A Ryuki thing.
Speaking of instruments, Liam, have you learned your instrument yet?
I'm learning it.
What are you learning?
I am learning Prelude, which is going very slow.
You're like learning piano, right?
Yeah, I'm learning piano, yeah.
I'm learning bass guitar, so we're putting our band together, everybody.
We're cobbling something.
We're definitely never going to be able to play together, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be a band in our own minds.
It'll be awesome.
It'll be a bass guitarist and a pianist.
We'll be called North and South.
Wow. That's got a different meaning here in America.
I imagine it does. We'll be called Great White North and South.
Shit, you can't do that. Fuck. Just call it the Great White North. I'm sure that's been taken, actually. That's something I learned when I was trying to come up with a fake band name for something. That every band name has been taken that you could possibly come up with.
It's true.
Oh, well. Our last message of the evening is from Twitter, and it's actually from Anachronism, or Anachronist. I can't see the name. But, Anachronist.
Anachronist.
Who wrote this in last week, but was very, very slightly late. But I like the question a lot. She writes, "Hey, hope I'm not late to submit a question this week." What an episode, huh? I love that whenever Toei wants an episode to feel particularly off-putting or twisted, they always go for interesting cinematography. The way they framed those shots between Emu and Parrot on the roof were fantastic, in my opinion. What did you two think of the camera work in this episode? I didn't get to talk about it too much last week because we were talking about other stuff, but the cinematography in this week's episode and last week's episode was top fucking notch for Modern Rider.
Every time they did the drowning sequence, all I thought was, damn, this must have been kind of hard to shoot.
Yeah, no doubt. They do this really awesome effect when Emu and Parrot are talking, like, on the previous episode on the roof, where they speed up the footage of the sky behind them.
Yeah.
And it makes it look really dreamlike and off-putting, and I fucking love it.
It's a weird effect.
I love it. So I really enjoyed the cinematography in the last few episodes.
Mm.
What about you, Liam?
I agree with everything you just said, plus one.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, unrelated, but do you two have any favorite authors? Thanks a million for the podcast and all the hard work. Anna. Thank you for writing in.
Thank you.
It's very appreciated. Do you have a favorite author?
I wouldn't call myself incredibly well-read, but I am a fan of H.G. Wells. I like his science fiction
really
stories.
Really damn good author.
Yeah, one of my favorite books, at least, is The Time Machine. I liked The Time Machine a lot. What about you?
That is a really good one. I'm a big fan of, like, noir detective stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Dashiell Hammett a lot, like the Maltese Falcon.
Okay, yeah.
That's your jam. I love Raymond Chandler best. He did all like the Philip Marlowe novels, like The Big Sleep or The Long Goodbye.
Mm.
And absolutely love those stories. When it comes to like more classic authors, like I like Isaac Asimov.
Yeah,
I really like Harlan Ellison, all the classic like sci-fi writers.
I started reading recently American Psycho. Have you read that one?
I haven't read it. I've seen the film.
The film is very good, and the book is very good. It's a very weird book. It's kind of funny. It's very funny at points.
It's like dark humor.
Yeah, there's a bit, one of my favorite parts, where he's on his way to a grocery store and he kills a guy. And then at the he doesn't care. It's just like, whatever, it's just something I do in the way of the grocery store. And then at the grocery store, he manages to buy a box of oat bran with an expired coupon and, like, slip it past the cashier. And he gets what he describes as, like, a volcanic rush of adrenaline, and he's, like, running down the street shoving oat bran into his mouth. It's, like, it's such a weird book. Jesus. I love it.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. If you haven't read American Psycho, you should give it a read. It's very good.
Tolkien?
Oh, Tolkien, yeah. That guy's the master world builder.
Huge fan of Tolkien. Read The Hobbit when I was younger.
Of course.
Lord of the Rings, like, six times.
Yeah.
Still really, really trying as hard as I can to get through the Silmarillion.
I hear the Silmarillion is really dense.
Yes. There's so many things going on.
It's just every single page is packed with so much.
No, it's good. It's just it wasn't really meant to be released. Like, I'm sure at some point Tolkien was going to like take all of his notes for it and make like a cohesive narrative throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he died, so they just released it.
That's
and it gets difficult at times.
Yeah,
I haven't made it all the way through it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call myself super well-read either.
Yeah, but I'm a casual reader.
Yeah,
what I do.
I am too.
Yeah.
God, I feel like I'm forgetting, like, I don't know. I'm forgetting, like, a shit ton of authors that I really like. I'm sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
I'm sorry I'm bad at fucking podcasting. I'll try to be better next time.
That should be every episode. We should put that little at the end.
Thanks for writing in, Anna. And if you would like your question answered on our podcast, you can write in to writerclubradio@gmail.com and we'll answer it on the air with our beautiful, beautiful voices.
Or, beautiful indeed, you can follow us on Twitter @writerclubradio and you can look at all our tweets and all our amazing retweets.
We try to stay on top of the good content in the tokusatsu community, but there isn't any, so we just have to make it. I'm kidding.
We took it into our own hands. There's some really fun stuff. Yeah. So check it out.
We retweet that fun stuff, too, so follow us.
Yeah, do it.
And we appreciate each and every one of you who tune in, who hang out in the Discord, which you can find on our Twitter page.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who loves Kamen Rider as much as we do.
Sure.
Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.